Ramsey TV.
Something really hit me while editing yesterday. It just astounding bits of truth, bit of insight. I'm going to share that with you today. When I read these passages, this passage from Ezekiel, it reads like an account of a sporting event. I mean, it just seems so compelling and so now, but it's even better than now because it's future. I mean, that's even better than now because God is telling us in detail what he is going to do after we are snatched away. And I mean, right after we are snatched away, he is going to take up with his people, Israel. And the sign from September 23rd, 2017 was the beginning of God saying, it's starting. I am officially underway. This thing is on the fast track. That's what that sign was all about of Revelation chapter 12. I should link you to the show down here that I did during the Revelation series. I was in Indianapolis doing a conference on that day, on that Saturday, September 23rd, 2017, the day of the sign that's been waiting thousands of years to happen from Revelation 12, the woman with the moon at her feet and the sun at her back and a diadem of 12 stars. And there it was. And it was that day was the largest convocation of the body of Christ in the world. We were at a conference in Indianapolis. And I said, this is it. We're watching this happen. Somebody had an app on their phone and they put it up on the ceiling. And of course, it showed the position of the stars. And there it was. There was Virgo. There's the moon. There's the sun. There's the diadem of stars. It's just like unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like we were, I know you're not seeing the actual stars through the ceiling. I understand that. But the app is showing you the exact position of these stars. And I'm just thinking, this is it. It's happening. And yet you walk outside that evening, that night, that Saturday, and like people are going about their business. It's unbelievable. We just saw what John saw on the island of Patmos in the year whatever AD. We were seeing it, what he saw. And it meant that God is in the home stretch. This is it. It's an announcement. It's like a sign that says, you know, Jerusalem 5 miles. This means you're getting close. You're getting close. It's just unbelievable. And now I'm reading Ezekiel. I'm going to be reading Ezekiel 37, verse 11. I'm going to be going to chapter 36, chapter 39, Isaiah 43, and Luke 13. Don't know if I'm going to get all this on this show. I hope that I do. But to me, this stuff reads like the business page on the Wall Street Journal. It's just so applicable. Only it's telling the future like it's, like God already knows about it or something. Yeah, like God already knows about it. If I have not introduced myself, this is Martin Zender. I've been talking about Israel. I'm totally into the body of Christ. I love the body of Christ. I love what God is doing among the nations with true people from the nations. And even those of you who are concerned, oh my God, what if I'm an Israelite? Maybe Martin's right. We're people descended from the house of Israel. It doesn't matter. Paul was also an Israelite. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. With Paul's gospel, it just matters that you have that antenna. There were many Israelites that came into Paul's gospel. Not a lot, but I'll just say some, maybe not many. There were some Israelites joined Paul. Paul was the Israelite of all Israelites, but he had an antenna for the uncircumcision message, for the gospel of grace, and ended up saying that Israelite nationality is like refuse to me. But he was concerned about his people according to flesh. He wanted them to come into their own calling, and that's what Romans chapter 11 is all about, and it's what the entire book of Hebrews is all about. Romans 11 and Hebrews correspond. I've never heard anybody else say this, but it struck me 6 years ago, no, even longer than that, probably 12 years ago, and I recorded an entire series on the book of Hebrews. Go to the all-new Martin Zender Dan Sheridan show on my homepage, and just, I wish it was more organized, I really do, but just, you'll find a whole thing on the book of Hebrews. But in Romans 11, Paul's talking to the nations about what's happened to Israel, and in Hebrews, he's talking about the Hebrews, the Jews, the Israelites about what's happened to Israel. Nobody knew more about it than Paul. He knew how to put it to the nations. He knew how to explain it to them in their own language. He became as a Jew to the Jews, a Greek to the Greek. So he does that in Romans 11. In Hebrews, he's writing to his people, but anonymously, because if he put his name on it, it would kill it. Somebody would say, well, who's this letter from? Paul. That guy's name was anathema. People of the Jewish nation heard his name and they spit. They hated the guy. But Paul loved them. Because why? Because he returned good for evil. Followed his own advice. How about that? Romans 12:31. So he writes this letter to the Hebrews, explain to them what happened, what will happen, and how they're supposed to hold fast. Then he gives the example of all the heroes of faith in chapter 11 who died having not received the promises. And this whole generation of people were going to die having not received the promises. What generation of people? The Peter generation, the James generation, the John generation. They died not having received the promise. So God must have cast away Israel. No, all through the centuries from that time to this, there has been a remnant that has been true to the circumcision gospel. God knows where they are. God sustains them, even though they're disobedient, even though they're apostates, even though they profane his name among the nations. He knows where they are, and he's about to embark upon a vast and startling and shocking move of the Spirit after we are snatching away that is going to stun the earth. And it's going to stun the people it happens to more than it even stuns the earth. It's going to stun the beneficiaries of it, which is the house of Israel. I'm, again, differentiating the house of Israel from the house of Judah. Those in Israel now, those freaky people that you see with the black garments and the funny little round hats stuffing prayers into a remnant of the Roman barracks belonging to Pontius Pilate in the first century. These are the imposters. These are the people Christians look at and go, ooh, look at them. Holy Jews, oh, they're so wonderful. These are the people who have, I'm going to read the parable from Luke, I think it's 14, who are reclining in the front seat at the wedding feast. These people in Israel today are imposters. There might be some true among them, of course, but only God knows. But I tell you, the remnant is small, small, small. But anyway, they're reclining at the front seat, the front chairs at the wedding feast, and they're going to be rudely told to get the hell out. They're going to be cast out, and then Christ, God, the Spirit of God, after we're snatched away, is going to send his Spirit, and then all the outcasts are going to come in, the true members of Israel, those who have been scattered from among the nations. Going to read more about it today. They're going to come in, and it's going to be a shock of the eon, the shock of the eon, when the sons of the kingdom are going to be cast out and the true owners of the land that have been dispersed among the nations, i.e. the house of Israel. You see, in Israel today are remnants from the house of Judah that remained in the land, that are under the curse. They don't even recognize their Messiah. At least the house of Israel recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. Yeah, the house of Israel. Those Europeans and Americans who are all into Jesus, 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 and they're Christians, they got it all screwy, but they recognize that he's the Messiah of Israel. They're going to need adjusted. It's going to happen during the tribulation. And now I get to Ezekiel 37, verse 11. This is what hit me when I was editing yesterday. I was listening to myself read this verse, and then it hit me, because I wasn't even understanding exactly what I was saying when I was reading it. I think when I was reading it on the show, I knew something was up, but I didn't have time to reflect. And then when I was editing, I saw it. And remember, this is the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. All there, the expectation of the house of Israel is dead. Remember Amos 9:9, they were scattered among every nation. Ezekiel 37, they're brought back to life. Listen to this. Then he said to me, God to Ezekiel, son of humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel, who hitherto have been saying, our bones are dry, our expectation has perished, we have gotten ourselves severed. End quote. That is a quote from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. This hit me like a ton of wheat flour. I'm trying to think of an Israelite term there. Barley. Hit me like a ton of barley. Why have these people been been saying to themselves in this context, right before this move of God, our bones are dry, our expectation has perished. This is a quote from the most accurate translation of Ezekiel in existence. Quote, we have gotten ourselves severed. Get ready for the shock. Buckle up. This is what Christians by the millions are going to say when they realize that they are in the tribulation. These are your friends, your family members, the churchgoers that you know. They're not going to know that the snatching away has occurred. They're just going to know that you're missing, and they're going to find out one thing that many of you had in common is, oh, you watch this Martin Zender guy. Oh, he must be the cult leader. They're all off in a secret meeting somewhere. They won't think it's the snatching away. They won't. But when they're going to know when the tribulation starts in earnest, when the locusts come and the supernatural horsemen and the sun is darkened and then the sun is given five times strength and people are scorched, then they're going to know. Then they're going to know, and it's not going to take them too long. Once that starts coming down, they're going to know we freaking missed it. We're in the tribulation. The last thing they expect, because they were all weaned on left behind. They were all regaled with tales of the rapture, and they were all sure that they were going to be raptured. Why? Because they were Christians, but they're Christians, they're believers in name only. They're not true believers. We know that. We know that. They've been deceived by every demonic doctrine come down the pike. 1 Timothy 4:1, doctrines of demons. They're infected. They're not in the body of Christ. This is what I've been saying for 20 years. People are coming around saying, of course they're not believers. Why did we think they were? Why did we think they were? So at this time, they are going to be absolutely freaking shocked, because they know they're going to be in the tribulation, and they'll think the snatching away is still future. They're wondering why it hasn't happened yet. Then they're going to be all saying things like, oh, must be post-trib. Must be a trope post-trib snatching away. But the majority of them think it's pre-trib. So they're going to say to themselves, our expectation has perished. We're finished. We have gotten ourselves severed. And they're going to know then that they've gotten themselves severed. It's going to hit many of them that they didn't listen to you. They heard the truth. They heard the truth. They heard the truth. But they're going to know then that they missed the boat of the body of Christ. They missed the boat. You heralded to them. You talked to them. You tried to bring it to them. They hated it. They didn't want to hear it. They marginalized you. They said you were crazy. And so they went their own way. Then they're going to realize, oh my God, our expectation has perished. We've gotten ourselves severed. They're going to feel cut off. And that's when the love of many will wax cold. But there is a move of the Spirit coming for these people. And it's described in Ezekiel 37. It's coming for them. Just at the point. Remember, it's a valley of dry bones. And it's exceeding. What did Ezekiel say? The hand of Yahweh came on me. This is verse 1 of Ezekiel 37, reviewing from yesterday. He brought me forth by the Spirit of Yahweh, stopped me in the midst of a valley. It was full of bones. He made me pass through them all around, and behold, there were exceedingly many on the surface of the valley. They're in a low place, and they were very dry, these bones were. Shall these bones live? That's the question. And Ezekiel says, you know. Only you know, God. And God says, well, damn straight they're going to live, because my Spirit is going to move. This is the new covenant. So these people are saying, we're cut off. We're doomed. We did this to ourselves. Then the prophecy comes. I just wanted to emphasize that verse 11 to you from Ezekiel 37. I want to highlight that for you and tell you that this is the horrifying realization that Christians will have, that they missed it. They missed it. It is going to be that sick feeling in the stomach times 1,000. It's going to be so sick that they miss it and they're in it. And how did this happen? How did this happen? But this is what's going to happen next. I don't want you to be over-alarmed or over-saddened, because this will set the stage for one of the most, no, I will say the most flooding, rushing widespread moves of the Spirit of God that there has ever been in the Aeonian times. And I mean that. And I mean that because it's going to encompass the most people. In the days of Noah, 8 people got the Spirit. 8 puffs of wind. Get the Spirit of God. Okay, wow, there you go. Hey, kind of limited. The rest of the earth is killed. Day of Pentecost. The disciples in the upper room. 12 flames of fire. Wow, that's not very crazy, is it? 12 people out of a bunch. It's true, 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 came to the Lord that day. That was fantastic. Yeah, that was a rush of the Spirit. True. That was pretty dramatic, yes. But it was 5,000 people in the days of Pentecost following the Lord's crucifixion. Then we have God calling Paul on the road to Damascus. What's that? Yeah, one. It was a big one. But one guy. We're going to have the snatching away of the body of Christ. Very few people on earth are going to survive to that. We are them. We're a ragtag fugitive fleet talking 500, 1,000 people. I don't know. It's going to be, but nobody's going to know about it. This, what we're looking at here is the new covenant. This is, I will send my Spirit on them. It's in Ezekiel 36. I am going to go there. It's the famous passage. You've all heard it. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will I bestow within you, and I will take away the heart of stone from your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. My Spirit shall I bestow within you. I will make it that you shall walk in my statutes and observe my ordinances, and you will obey them. Then you will dwell in the land which I gave to your forefathers, and you will become my people, and I shall become your Elohim. This is going to happen in a day. In an hour, this is going to happen in a rush of the Spirit that's going to make Pentecost look like a puff of wind not strong enough to blow the seeds off of a dandelion. I will tell you this, the upper room on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after our Lord's death and resurrection, was a microcosm, that little room made of wood in the upstairs of a dilapidated building in Jerusalem where the Spirit of God rushed through the windows and came on 12 men. That was a microcosm. Just as the Garden of Eden, the little patch of real estate along the Tigris and Euphrates River, just as that was like a postage stamp promissory note of the entire earth being in Eden. This move of the Spirit of God in that upper room was a postage stamp sized promissory note of a sweep of the Spirit over this entire land where God is going to bring the house of Israel to life. And that is what this Valley of Dry Bones is about. It's an exceedingly many. And it's going to happen in the midst of the days of the tribulation. This is when the 144,000 come, the two witnesses come out, and there's a vast throng. I remind you, it is not only the two witnesses. It is not only the 144,000, but it is also a vast throng that comes out and goes through the tribulation. This is what this is. It's a move of the Spirit that we have never seen. And it's the new covenant. Don't you think that's going to be a big deal? Oh, the new covenant. And to imagine that some people think the new covenant is happening now. When people see the new covenant happen, when this event that I'm telling you about, this rush of spirit, this valley of dry bones, this bringing on of sinews and flesh, and then the Spirit of God animating the bones that have been joined bone to its bone, then it's going to be something like you've never seen before. Not even the snatching away. As far as a manifestation on earth will equal this. It won't even be close. And it's going to happen right when they're most despairing. That's how God does it. You know that's how he does it. Right when they're saying our expectation is dried up. We're screwed. We've done this to ourselves. We have severed ourselves. Then is when it happens. 37:11. Our bones are dry, our expectation is perished, we've gotten ourselves severed. Therefore prophesy, and you will say to them, thus says my Lord Yahweh, behold, I will open your tombs. I will bring you up from your tombs. These are figurative tombs. This is spiritual oblivion. My people, and bring you to the ground of Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I open your tombs. This is going to be Lazarus come forth times 100 million. This will be Lazarus come forth times 100 million. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. When I open your tombs, when I bring you up from the tombs, my people, I will bestow my spirit in you and you will live. This is the new covenant and I will settle you on your ground. I'm going to show you how that's going to happen in Luke 13 and in Luke 14. But first, before this show ends, I want to go to Ezekiel 36. Somebody pointed this out to me yesterday. I thank you for your great comments on yesterday's video. Lay it on me today as well. I started in Ezekiel 37:1, but it would have been good to start in Ezekiel 36:21. A faithful viewer brought this up to me, and so I'm going to begin here because it introduces this whole thing all over again. Well, actually, it precedes it. God, I shall take pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel got profaned among the nations where they came. This is a repetition of Paul in Romans chapter 2 that because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Well, of course it's among the nations. That's where the house of Israel was scattered, Amos 9:9. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says my Lord Yahweh, not on your account shall I act, house of Israel, but rather for my holy name, which you got profaned among the nations where you have come. I will hallow my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you got profaned in their midst. How have they profaned it? By the doctrine of eternal torment. I'm going to talk to you about politics this week if I get to it, and I cannot even now tell you the degree to which the doctrine of eternal torment has profaned God's name among the nations, and this is part of the political turmoil, but it's so underneath it, it's so part of the bedrock that the structure is built upon that nobody can see anymore what the bedrock is. But the bedrock is a spiritual battle between the forces of truth and the forces of deception. And the doctrine of eternal torment is the number one deception that has turned the nations from God. And that is one of the things that God is going to remedy, because his name has gotten profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh. This is going to be a demonstration to the nations. And I'm going to show you this in Isaiah 43. If I get to it today, I probably won't. But Isaiah 43 is amazing. I've been promising it for 2 days. This is going to astound the nations when they see this. And it's going to especially astound the fakers that are now sitting in Jerusalem, stuffing their worthless little paper prayers into the wailing wall. Talk about wailing. You want to talk about wailing and gnashing of teeth? They're not wailing at the wailing wall. They're hoping that a photographer's taking a picture of them. They're hoping that Time Magazine is there. They're hoping that they can look over to the right and see the president or a prime minister. Yeah, it's all arrogance. Wailing wall, my ass. Nobody's wailing at that wall. They're proud as hell because I think they're standing on the holy ground of Israel. They are standing on the holy ground of Israel. But if you think the lost 10 tribes have profaned, if you think the house of Israel has profaned his name, how about the house of Judah? They're the ones that called the curse upon themselves. I remind you again, the house of Judah was the only group in Israel when our Lord came, and they said, his blood be on us and our children. Oop, Scroogey. Yeah, you did that to yourselves, relatively speaking. The house of Israel had already been scattered before our Lord came to earth, and that saved them from the curse. That is why they're the ones that at least published the scriptures. They're the ones at least having a form of, they at least have the decency to have a form of devoutness. Yeah, of course they deny the power, but well, they have the decency to have a form of devoutness. And many of us have stumbled onto the truth through their awkward and inane and mishandled presentation of the scripture. We still got it. Maybe one of you got a Gideon Bible in your hotel room thanks to these lost 10 tribers, and you maybe read Romans 5:18-19, and you got the truth of the salvation of all through the awkward, even Caiaphas prophesied concerning our Lord, better for one man to perish than the entire nation perish. Caiaphas prophesied that year concerning Christ. What an idiot. The guy was a total idiot. He didn't plan on prophesying the truth. You better this man perish than the whole nation. You idiot. But you got truth from the guy. He's like a chamois rag. We twisted him, and we got a little drop of truth from that moron. Not that we're going to keep going back to him for further revelations. No, we're not. We're not. That guy needs adjusted big time, and he's going to get it. He is going to get it. I will hallow my great name, which has been profaned. Then the nations will know when I'm hallowed among you before their eyes. This is what I'm going to get into tomorrow. Before their eyes. This thing is going to be so visible, which, again, differentiates it from the upper room. The upper room was not visible. There was only a few people up there. They were playing cards. No, you're right. They were praying. I thought, yeah, you're right. They were praying. But it was very private, just like the Holy of Holies. One day a year, you know, the chief priest went in there, took care of the sins of Israel. There was not a temple cam. There was not a Holy of Holy cam to show it. Instead, they brought the scapegoat out later to demonstrate to Israel what had happened in private in that little cubicle. So the upper room was its own cubicle, but it was a private affair, of course, until Peter rushed out into the street and started heralding the word, and everybody heard it in their own language. It got a little bit public there, but wait till you see this in front of all the nations before their eyes. See, after we're snatched away, it's going to be a big secret. Things are going to start happening before the eyes of the human race. Suddenly, they're going to see stuff, just like Israel saw stuff back in those days. The Spirit's going to move again, folks. The Spirit is going to move again, but we're probably not going to see it because we're going to see bigger and better things among the celestials. But the earthlings are going to see stuff that they haven't even dreamed of, and in the exact spot, on the exact ground, in the valley, where the people who we know and love have said and will say, our expectation is dried up, we've severed ourselves, in that very place, they will become again the people of God.